the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Hey, welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gambill. I'm the host of this program, the show, today. Today is 9/11. And I was going to do part three of the mind control was today. But I'm going to do that tomorrow. Today, I had an inspiration earlier today of doing a special on 911. I'm going to tell you today something you've heard some parts of in some places. Others have never heard this before. And some of it I'm going to put in there you've never heard before. I can tell you that. Some of it, people have touched upon it, of the real story about 911. Now, I don't like going back in the past where they have all these false flags that we keep going back to because it's distraction. When they run out of things to talk about, they say JFK. They run across things to talk about, they'll come up with Sandy Hook. They just pull it out of a bag, you see, to keep us all busy, tied up in conspiratorial discussions while they do something else, to keep us all busy. But this one, today, I'm going to show you today the real truth about 911, the real truth, and the origin of it, although they didn't plan it, but the purpose of 911 fits right into the plans that the Masonic, the Illuminati, the Jesuits, Illuminati plans that began in 1789 to 911. Now, top that one, and I can show you today. And if need be, I may go over 10 minutes. And if those who are listening today are on TalkStream Live, if you would go to TalkStream Live, but around 3 or 4 minutes before TalkStream Live, before 6 o'clock, when my show's due to shut down, they turn off the connection. But I still continue talking on my website, Watchmen for Jesus. I normally would continue talking if I have something else to say that would shut off normally on TalkStream Live. But doesn't mean I'm done, because my website continues. If I have something to close down or to say the last 2-3 minutes before 6, because TalkStream Live will shut the connection off, which they should. I mean, you know, my show's over from their perspective at 6, not for mine. So I have known to go longer, like 10 minutes. Well, I have archives, so I also keep track of it through archives that I put up on my website immediately after my show. So if you're listening on TalkStream Live from their method there at the bar, you touch the bar and up pops media player or whatever, and you're listening to it from TalkStream Live, and about 3 minutes till 6, it'll shut off. It'll just quit. You're normally supposed to be at the end of the show, but I will continue talking, usually. So you'd have to go back to my website, watchmenforjesus.com, and you would hear me continuing to talk on my website, live, till 6 or 6:10 if I want to. It's my network, and if I can do it if I want to, but not TalkStream Live, okay? Well, today, for me, this is going to be mentally challenging because I've got to connect some dots to make it simple. A very complex operation that literally, family, goes back to 1789, and I will prove that. That 911 was not planned just in the year 2000 or just in the year 1996 or 1990. That's almost funny. It's not funny because people died, but it's funny that people would think that it's that soon planned. But 1990, no. Not even 1941, no. Not even 1900, no. It goes back to 1776, actually. Did they know the World Trade Center was going to be built then? No. But they did September 11th, 1966, they did, because that's when the Masonic cornerstone was laid at the World Trade Center. September 11th, 1966. And the Pentagon cornerstone was laid September 11th, 1941, by Masons. Ah, I got your attention now, don't I? So they knew the World Trade Center was going to go down when they laid the cornerstone, setting it up for destruction and death for sacrifice, September 11th, 1966. Now, every year, for about 8 years, 7 years, I would go to the World Trade Center and work for the State Department. And they had a lot of empty floors every time I went up there. Nobody was working at these floors. I always wondered why they had empty floors. I thought, well, just vacancies. No. That towers was made to come down at the right time. And I'll show you the connections from the occult, from the druid, from the satanic worshipers. I will prove that. That's the real 911. It was set up to go down and to kill people on the way down for human sacrifice for a specific reason. Let's dedicate the broadcast and then let's get going. I have a lot of clips to show you. Listen, so it's just not my word. You'll hear clips from CIA, Hillary Clinton, some from Bill Cooper, maybe from Larry McDonald, from a lot of folks. Won't just be me talking. No, I got evidence. No. In a lot of areas you think are not connected, I'll show you how they are connected. So if I have to, I'll just go part two tomorrow, you know, if I need be. I can still do the mind control, but I hope to get through with it today. So let me stop the introduction and get on with the dedication, and let's get moving here. Because I won't tell you today exactly what 911 was really about. Truth about it. Thank you, Lord, for today that we come together in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we dedicate this broadcast and all my broadcasts, Father, I dedicate to you in your service. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. Lord, we lay before you our work, our service. We lay before you our sins. Lord, we lay name them to you, Lord, that you forgive us of them, and Father, to convict us when we fall away, that we will keep us in, Father, in straight and narrow. Father, we pray for our veterans. We pray for those that are contemplating the suicides. There's 26 suicides, Lord, per day. There's more than that, double, triple, Father, that of those that's not even veterans, of suicides that's being orchestrated. Father, we pray for the children that's being given these psychotropic drugs, that, Father, you'll find a way to protect them in the blood of Jesus, to bring up the awareness to parents, Father, the lies and the false diagnosis that's going around about ADHD and all these lies that these governmental agencies are producing, Father, to make them take or allow them to take or to provide for them these psychotropic drugs that's causing the suicides and causing the problems, Lord. We pray for our brethren we prayed for before, for healing, for bringing families together. Father, for the words to be spoken on this broadcast, that, Lord, it will extend itself out. That the power of the Holy Spirit will work, Lord, to bring people together and have healings. That, Lord, it will bring us all to the worship of Jesus Christ. That, Lord, his name will be exalted through the King James Bible. That's his holy word. Father, we pray today. You guide us and lead us today, Father, in your name we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, family, this is most certainly going to be a non-traditional broadcast about 911. I'll tell you that right now. I'm going to tie together some points that you might not consider. Some of you already know. I have no idea. Who knows what? You'll hear some things you've heard before, some things you've not heard before. You'll hear them today that they'll be put in certain order that you haven't considered before. Some of you already have. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. So I just go where the Lord sends me and say what I have to say. It's that simple. Well, I take that back. It's not that simple. Because I got to put these things together to where it don't become a mishmash of just uncoordinated conjecture and history and so forth that makes no sense. I got to make it make sense. I got to tie it together with some glue. Family, after Nimrod, the fallen angels came back. But they couldn't come back until mankind understood and knew about alchemy, about how to accept the necessary human sacrifices and manipulation of elements that would allow the fallen angels to manifest in this realm, and from second heaven to first heaven, in the physical realm, as in the days of Noah. God heavily restricted them from entering this realm, so they learned how to manipulate the elements of God, the principles of God, by numerology, science, chemistry, physics, alchemy, and so forth. Well, they couldn't do it in their supernatural state. So they would influence mankind, starting off with Nimrod, in the Freemasonic methodology of alchemy. Witchcraft, it's all the same. Nimrod was the one chosen because he came from a weak bloodline of Cush, which came from Ham. A weak bloodline. Because Ham was cursed by his father, not for having sex with his father Noah, for goodness sakes. It was for seeing his father's nakedness and not covering it up. People go so far to try and interpret the Bible the way they want to and not what the Bible says. For some reason back then, it was a shame for the son or daughter to see the father's nakedness or mother, whatever, and not cover them up if they were asleep or something. It wasn't sex with Noah. That was ridiculous. As it was no sex in the Garden of Eden. That's also a Christian identity and serpent seed doctrine boondoggle and lie from the pit of hell. No, I'm not gentle. I don't intend on being gentle with this. All this is man-made speculation. However, going back to Noah, it's where it's all starting here. Noah, Ham was cursed, a weak link. Cush came along, his son, and that's where Satan found a weak link to once again using overshadowing or channeling to give mankind the ideas, the knowledge of witchcraft, of Freemasonry, etc., on how to bring the fallen angels into this realm by using alchemy, ritualized alchemy, and witchcraft, sorcery, etc. That's where it started. From there, where witchcraft picked up steam, once again, as in the days of Noah, it continued on. Now, that's the short of it. It pervades today with witchcraft and their circles and bringing the fallen angels into this realm. Saint Germain, El Moria, Sananda, Emmanuel, these are all fallen angels. And by death and destruction, alchemy, manipulation of the elements, they're able to come into this realm, into this dimension, we'll say. They have names. They've manipulated mankind since the beginning in seven different areas specifically. They control the Bilderberg Group. They control the Club of Rome. They control the United Nations. They control the Council of Foreign Relations. They control your government. They control the European government. They control Queen Elizabeth. They control the Illuminati. The Illuminati of the highest level are nothing more than mere slaves of the fallen angels. However, they're masquerading as ascended masters or aliens or the hierarchy, the Great White Brotherhood, the community, because they're not going to have mankind to believe that they're fallen angels. But Swedenborg identified them as such in the 18th century. Look it up, the man who spoke with angels. They've guided all religions, including Christianity, politics, economics and finance, philosophy, harmony, beauty in the arts, education, science. It's all been through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to control mankind in councils, committees, and bloodlines. Merovingian bloodline controls monarchy today, is a part of the hybrids of the fallen angels. All this can be proven. Now you see where this falls flat with people that don't understand the reality of this world. What I'm telling you is the truth. I don't have time to go into exact details. Only got 2 hours. But I'm laying the groundwork right now on what I got to talk about. So, Satan gets one shot. New World Order. He's tried many, many, many times. The first try was Nimrod. You know through Daniel's dream how many times tried a new world order. Every war, every plan, every dictator, bar none, has been a part of this. Now, fast forward, I'd say quite a bit, to our history of 1492. The United States was chosen, the North American continent was chosen to be the new Jerusalem. To be the new Atlantis. All the way back to the 1400s. Actually, back to the 10th century. Bloodlines extended itself every generation for this one plan. The pharaohs of Egypt are the bloodline of the Queen Elizabeth and the kings and queens of day. The blue bloodline goes back to the pharaohs of Egypt. You see how it works? The Jesuits, the priesthood, was formed through the Roman Catholic Church before it was Zoroastrianism, Mithraism, shamanism. To cover that, 325 AD, the Roman Catholic Church was formed to hide the fact that it's pagan and to control religion. That's how they did it. Constantine set up the hiding of the ancient mystery school. That's why all of our holidays are pagan, every one of them. Now, all these things I'm telling you are facts and can be proven. So, the target of a diverse culture to bring everybody back together, since God divided us all at the Tower of Babel, to not work against him, he divided us. Satan's idea is to bring us all back together in one culture. That's what it's all about. All this is documented, by the way. The target was North American continent. Now, I've explained this before to my regular listeners. The first culture was those that stayed, was here already, was Indians and the Mexicans, which are really the names, they were descendants of Shem, Middle Easterner. White folk just gave them the name of Mexican or gave them the name of Indian. That's not nothing to do with their heritage. They're the heritage of Shem. By the way, Jesus Christ, through King David, all the way back, is in the bloodline of Shem. Deal with it, white folk. So the target was the first culture was whites. The next target was blacks. And everybody else, y'all come on in. And then they started DNA manipulation. All this is documented. This is the main purpose. The real reason of America. The American dream was not about enterprise. The American dream was about a new world order all along, using the secret societies as their little push buggies. So in 1425, by 1492, the plan was put into effect. Columbus. That's when it started. Religious intolerance by the Vatican, in other words, murder in the millions of white folk in Europe. Bondage by 1200 A.D. By 1400 A.D., and with a religion called Protestantism, set up by a Jesuit by the name of Martin Luther, gave him courage, gave him a religion, and let's move out of here because we're being murdered by the Vatican. That was the purpose of it. So they'd initiate a move, get out of there so it wouldn't be murdered by the popes. It worked perfectly. They call it Jamestown. That's what that is all about. That's the first culture in. Escaping from being murdered. However, the white folk must have forgot something because they started bringing, they were supposed to be godly, and started bringing in slaves in the 1600s. That was by design of the Illuminati for tobacco. Then it became cotton. And white men got stupid and started having slaves of another culture. 1711. White man had, I'm a white man, I'm Scotch-Irish. So I don't get into all this cultural black and white nonsense. I call it like it is. Subjugated another culture, black, still going to churches. But then again, slaving another culture by design. The white folk not realizing they're slaves already and didn't know it. Now, you got kind of got the picture here? Okay. So now, bondage. Revolutionary War. They had to have it. April 19th, Sacrifice Day, 1775, Concord and Lexington. It began. It's dates, certain dates of the constellation of every year, every month, opens up portals. A certain power structure in the universe is tapped into by their alchemy, knowledge of the strength of the universe and power, opens up portals. When they do certain murders, sacrifices, and so forth, it's specific. Mabone, M-A-B-O-N-E, Mabone, is the one for the 21st of September coming up. There will be some death between now and the 21st of September. Count on it. Death must occur on these dates because the power structure of the universe allows the death to somehow generate openings and portals, allowing a transference of the fallen angels into this realm. The dates are very important. The positioning of the stars and constellations is very important. They must be on that day. or they have to wait another year or another 10 years or whatever the situation calls for. So that's why it's April 19th, 1775, 1,200 British soldiers were killed. Revolutionary War began. Fast forward. So when we lost the Revolutionary War, and we did, by 1789, we're put under a bank cycle, bankruptcy of this colony called America, of a 70-year bank cycle. 70-year. This is very important. It's also in the Bible about 70 years as a slave. They used the 70 years in that purpose. 70 years is about a generation. So when we were put under to operate as a corporation, a colony, under the bondage of King George III, Prince of the United States of America, Incorporated, 1783, Paris Peace Treaty. Then by 1789, negotiations were worked out to put us under bankruptcy for 70 years. Like you and I would be on bankruptcy for seven, God forbid. But seven, for a colony, for a government to act, is 70 years. 1789, what do you get? Add 70. So in that 70 years, they got to set up another war. Wars establish debt. That's what all the wars were about. Never in our history, never in the history of mankind, has a war been for freedom. Freedom was a trigger word. Freedom was a galvanizing point. But the underlying reason for it was to put men in bondage. That's the only reason. No other reason. So we had to get them to fight for it. Had to get them to fight to establish debt. How to do that? Take the freedom away. Make them fight for it. That's exactly what they did. This is confirmed by quotes from hearing Goring and Hitler, and even talks about, Lincoln talks about it. I mean, I got quotes at the yin yang. I don't have time to give them all. I'm going to give you a basic overview today and tell you where the quotes are coming from. Lincoln confirms before he is assassinated that the Jesuits were the cause of the Civil War. Going back to 1700s, the Fabian Society, as George Washington never trusted them, he didn't trust the Freemasons coming from Europe. And neither did Thomas Jefferson. He said, something's wrong here. So 1789, they were to establish a 70-year debt. 1830s, was to set up the false flag of the Alamo and drive the Mexicans out. Now you get the point, how it works. 1812. Andrew Jackson had broken the back and broken the control of Illuminati by balancing the budget. So the War of 1812 was to get back that control by burning down Washington, D.C. and burning the ratification records. But go back further. 1776, we remained a colony of England. King George III became Prince of the United States of America, Incorporated. And by 1789, they set up a debt system. We had to give up collateral to continue operating as a colony, which we are a colony today. And that was Washington, D.C. And that's why it's the occult capital of the world. Because it's owned by the international bank powers, the Illuminati. It was collateral for the 70 years to operate. Then after the 1789, 1790, even 1798, John Robeson wrote Proofs of Conspiracy to warn us about this. He's an honest Freemason. He was honest. He was a good guy. He tried to warn us. As a matter of fact, Reverend Snyder passed a copy of Proofs of Conspiracy to George Washington in 1799. George Washington died in 1799. So by 1800, you got slavery going. Now they're focused on getting the Mexicans out of Texas. You got how that working? Getting territory for New Atlantis. in the North American continent. So by 1830 or 1812, now you see where they had to burn the ratification records. Andrew Jackson knew about this in early 1800s, balanced the budget, broke the back of the Illuminati, broke the debt control. They had to have another war to establish debt again, where Andrew Jackson succeeded. They tried to kill him three times, by the way. That's what the War of 1812 was all about. Reestablish the debt where he had broken their backs. They got it back again and burned down D.C. just about. So now, when's the next 70 years? 1859. Got to have a war. That was the Civil War. What's the trigger? Liberty. Who's the main initiator? Abraham Lincoln. He was part of the Illuminati family bloodline, too, by the way. And his wife, Mary Todd. Todd's married into Astor's. We're Illuminati. Man, that woman was one mean woman. Man, let me tell you, that was one evil woman. Bad in the occult, just like all the rest of them, actually. Seances, all that nonsense. Something happened to Lincoln. He changed. He took us off the gold standard, as FDR did that. Still, Lincoln was a part of that. His role was to bring the Emancipation Proclamation and to free the slaves, to let them loose now in this diverse nation we have. They weren't really loose till 1960s. But nevertheless, that was the plan. Bring them in, enslave them, then release them. As a matter of fact, Abraham Lincoln said, I'll give you the quote, about the Civil War. This war would never have been possible without the sinister influence of the Jesuits. We owe it to popery that we now see our land reddened with the blood of the noblest sons. Though there were great differences of opinion between the South and the North on the question of slavery, neither Jeff Davis nor any one of the leading men of the Confederacy would have dared to attack the North had they not been relied on the promise of the Jesuits that under the mask of democracy, the money, the arms, and Roman Catholics, even the arms of France, were at their disposal if they would attack us. Unquote. In the book you'll find, 50 Years in the Church of Rome, by Charles Chitney. Published was 1885 and page 388. He exposed the Jesuits. He came clean. Abraham Lincoln was not a Freemason. He tried to stop it all. That's why they assassinated him. So 1859, and Johnson came in, and you got the story there. 1859, though, was the end of the 70-year bank cycle. So now we need a debt. That's a Civil War. Need a loan to continue another 70 years. What you got? Add 70 years to it, you get 1929. And that whole period of time, they sunk us into the happy days of here again, World War I, all that going on, to set up the 1929 Great Depression. They knew this was going to happen in 1913. It's all set up. 1928, we funded Hitler. Wall Street did, funded Hitler. 1928, Wall Street had a secret meeting in 1927 to plan the Great Depression. The Great Depression was to establish another debt. That's when FDR, that liar, took us off the gold standard. Oh, by the way, 1759, remember we had the debt then, 70 years, the second one? The collateral, this time, was 13 states. Original, 13 states. One state for each Illuminati family. 13 families, 13 states. Was given to the powers for collateral. That gave them collateral for another 70 years bank cycle, which took us to 1929. 1929, I've already told you about that. That's when the second debt, the third debt, began. What you have? Great Depression. A planned military coup. General Butler. He blew the whistle, though. It didn't happen the way they'd planned it. 1933-34, their military coup fell apart again. And so, they needed another 70 years. What was collateral? Every American citizen was pledged as collateral in a debt system set up by Mandel House and Woodrow Wilson in 1923's time frame. Every American citizen was given as collateral, and their birth certificate guaranteed social insurance to pay for the debt, because FDR took us off the gold standard to make us slaves as collateral in a bank loan that was to last 70 years to pay it back. You see how it worked? So now, tack on 70 years to 1929. You mathematicians out there, what do you get? You get 1999, don't you? In 1999, at the end of 1999, well, is the year 2000. And the year 2000 was the planned New World Order for the 1,000 years of Lucifer's reign on Earth, as they planned it. That's the real bottom line. And by the year 2001, once Lucifer had established his kingdom on Earth, their plan was, notice the word was, to invoke 911, which was going to be a Masonic sacrifice of the two towers of Boaz and Jachin. You'll find the two towers, the two pillars in the Masonic lodges of Boaz and Jachin, and in the middle is a third one, a power structure, to open up portal from that sacrifice. So that was to be part of the externalization of the hierarchy. The hierarchy, as I told you a little while ago, are the fallen angels, one of the first levels. You will find the Masons did a cornerstone dedication of the World Trade Center cornerstone September 11th, 1966. March of 66 was a basic cornerstone laying. But the Masonic one was different. The Masonic one was September 11th, 1966, special and separate just for the Freemasons. What other building was hit in the sacrifice on September 11th? The Pentagon. The Pentagon cornerstone was laid September 11th, 1941. It has to be in certain days. You see what happened? I happen to know from separate investigation, from the Illuminati textbook, Signs of Christ by Harold Balliaz, explains this. Without going in great detail, there's different energies that's drawn and expressed by different formations, symbols, as magnets, transmitters, triangle, pyramids. That's what the pyramids of Giza are. They're power structures. They're power generators. Open up portals. They're connected to other Stonehenge and all that. They're connected in a power source of sort. It attracts different energy than the five-pointed star, pentagram, you know, it's on our flags. And the hexagram, which is that horrific blood sacrifice symbol of the Star of David, is not of the Jews. The menorah is. The Jews in Israel today are not the Jews of the Bible. They're the synagogue of Satan. That's a fact. And their emblem, their symbol, is the hexagram, or the so-called Crest of Solomon, or the Star of David. It is total evil. And I'm sorry to say, our own flag has 50 pentagrams, and that's the purpose of it. Now, each of these release energy received in different planes or levels of the second heaven. And they have different functions, like attract energies, they fuse them, they radiate them in proper channels to further, they say, the evolution of humanity. But that's a lie. In the third phase of the New Age movement brought in by Michael Aquino in the year 1975 invoked the Prince of Darkness, Satan, in 1975 at the WSOC of 1975. They say, I quote, a powerful energy will be released upon humanity. And as a result of this release, a man will be able to break through the wall of his ignorance, the chains of his hatred and separateness, and the prison of his physical limitations. These achievements will not happen at once. It will take labor and striving to cooperate with and use these energies. Great, sunny, and beautiful ages are waiting for humanity. And that's a lie, too, by the way. Humanity will make it. This is our belief, unquote. Family, they lied. It's about bringing in a Luciferian agenda. But they lied to the New Agers back in those days. That's when 1975, we are all gods and all this, that's what it was for. As a third phase of the New Age movement was, first phase was Helena Blavatsky, 1875. Third phase was Alice Bailey, 1919. And the third phase was Michael Aquino, 1975. So this mystery of Bodhisattvas was touched upon by Helena Petrovna Blavatsky and assimilated and studied what she'd said. That's where Jordan Maxwell, David Icke, they come from that theology. Even Adolf Hitler studied her. Now here comes the catcher. They say in their textbook, a very interesting period will come about in the year 1966 and persist to the end of the century. It's one of those, the great ones, was already making due preparation. It concerns a centennial effort of the lodge and of the percentages taking part therein. Each century sees a centennial effort of the lodge along a particular line of force made to forward the ends of evolution. What that means is to bring about the New World Order and Lucifer into this realm. That's their plan all along. I've got it documented. They say, quote, it will involve a great number of the great ones. That's the fallen angels they're talking about. The hierarchy, the ascended masters. Atheists know them as aliens, but they're not. They're fallen angels or the sons of God of the Old Testament. Evil to the core. They say, in a similar effort during the 19th century, Blavatsky was concerned and a fairly large number of cellas. These are human beings. Cellas are human beings started at birth that are possessed. That brings on ideas, thoughts, and plans of the Illuminati. Now, it says here, in the beginning of the Bodhisattva himself, the mystery of the Bodhisattva would be seen in its fullest sense. This means is the Great One, they call him, would be used, and the coming Lord, that's Satan, would clothe upon the vestures of a physical vehicle. That means a body, the Antichrist. Family, this is how deep it goes. That was supposed to have happened. It set up in 1966. The Masonic dedication of the World Trade Center was September 11th, 1966. The dates are extremely important. For them, on this day in history, actually, quite a few things happened. Massacre of Duhiggin, Ireland, Oliver Cromwell kills 3,000 loyalists in 1649. A lot of death occurred September 11th throughout our history. You had in 1813, War of 1812, in September 11th, British troops arrive in Mount Vernon and prepare to march to and invade D.C. September 11th. And 1826, Captain Morgan blew the whistle on the Freemasons and they murdered him. September 11th. September 11th was a false flag in 1857. of Mountain Meadows Massacre by the Mormons, dressed as Indians, murdered 120 colonists in Utah. September 11th, by the Mormons, murdered, dressed as Indians, Mormons, Mountain Meadows Massacre, false flag. September 11th. I want to make sure you got that. If you look at 1893, the first conference of the World Parliament of Religions, bringing all the religions together, was held in 1893, September 11th. And then a lot of invasions took place. Oh, my goodness. September 11th, 1936. This is not good. FDR dedicates Boulder Dam, known as Hoover Dam. Those of you in the know, that's a bad sign. September 11th, 1936, Hoover Dam was dedicated by the Masons. Oh, boy. So, 1941, the ground is broken for the construction of the Pentagon. Completed, started in 1941, September 11th. Completed January 1943. There's always planned that attack in Pentagon. It was even back then. Y'all see how this is working out? September 11th, 1966. Quote, Masonic cornerstone laid for World Trade Center towers, a.k.a. Nelson and David. And it had been nothing but death ever since. September 11th, 1971, Khrushchev died of a heart attack. September 11th, 1973, President San Salvador Allende deposed a military coup, died at 65. It just goes on and on. From then on, there's nothing but murder and death. September 11th, 1981, Dallin Kilhold, American student and murderer, conducted the Columbine High School massacre, was born. Man, it's amazing stuff here. Amazing. Now, and September 11th, 2012, 315 people, 315 people is number 9. 315 people died or killed in two garment factories in Pakistan. And September 11th, 2012, the U.S. consulate in Benghazi was stormed, looted, and burned down, killing 5 people. September 2012. Now, some of these things are a little bit surprised to me. Even the CIA warned of attack 6 years before 9/11, April 16th, 2004. Bill Cooper, not Alex Jones, but Bill Cooper was the first one to announce that attack of this nature would happen. He is killed not long after that. Is Bill Cooper was the first one to predict it. Nobody else. Bill Cooper did. Now, I'm moving up to a period here where I'm going to start playing some videos, audios, and confirm what I'm telling you. So where are we right now? The point is that the attack of the World Trade Center was Masonic sacrifice. It was set to accumulate after a fake World War III in 1999. Now, right before 1999, in June of 1999, a Rhodes Scholar, that means he's Illuminati, took a blood oath against mankind, a liar and a traitor. General Wesley Clark was leading NATO forces in the Balkans, His role was to start World War III. Now, right now when I'm talking about it, it might take you 10 seconds, maybe 20 if you're slow, or if your computer's slow, to search while I'm talking about General Clark, plus sign, connected to a man who tried to start World War III. Because in June 1999, when NATO forces landed, you had a mechanized unit from the Brits led by, I forgot the name of the lieutenant right now, Blunt, B-L-U-N-T, Lieutenant Blunt, was leading a mechanized unit, his inner reserves activated, James Blunt, B-L-U-N-T, Lieutenant, was leading a mechanized unit of British soldiers, a mechanized unit, to the Pristina Airport, and he was ordered by Wesley Powderpuff Clark, which I have no respect for, because he's a liar, and he's an anti-patriot, he's a total New World Order leader, works for the Illuminati. He ordered James Blunt to stop the Russians, 200 Spetsnaz, from taking the airport, of Pristina Airport. The plan was, unknown to James Blunt, was to have them exchange fire to start the war between Russia and NATO forces in 1999, of June, July. Well, it didn't happen that way. General Clark, known as the man who tried to start World War III, was put on hold, thank goodness, and James Blunt, lieutenant, calls up General Michael Jackson of the British forces and confers with his general, which is a smart move, because you can't trust Clark. He's a snake and a liar. He called up his general, Michael Jackson, and said, I have a problem here. We're face to face here with 200 Spetsnaz. We're ordered to stop their advance to the Pristina Airport. What do I do? And General Michael Jackson told him to stand down. And he calls up General Powderpuff Clark and says, quote, I'm not going to start World War III for you. So they allowed the Russians to take the airport, which they should have anyway. And they disobeyed General Clark's order, which is the smartest thing he ever could do, because it's an illegal order, and it was for illegal purposes. Because that was the purpose all along, was to start World War III, or what they're doing today. Now, that didn't happen. World War III didn't have a trigger point. Now watch this. In December the 31st, in the December, in December, December 31st, 1999, June, July, August, September, October, November, four or five months after this incident in June, this commentator named Alex Jones actually went on air, and I was in Kosovo in November 1999. October, I was there. There was never any close resemblance of a war. Russians were doing. Matter of fact, I was friends with a Russian lieutenant when I was as a security officer under the OSCE for the eastern region of Kosovo. I was in charge of the entire security for the entire region, the eastern region of Kosovo. I was. Had five regions and over 300 internationals under my protection. I set up the security and coordinated with the Russians, the Greeks, the British, others, the Carabinieri, to protect the people I was responsible to protect. So I was into it for 5 years over there. I know there was never a talk of the Russians attacking in December 1999. It never happened. So here we go. Here's what happened on December 31st, 1999 on the air.
Failing in Britain and now other European countries.
All right, starting over.
Cash machines are failing in Britain and now other European countries. They're finding large amounts of explosives in France. Vladimir Putin, who is known as Vladimir the Ruthless, and using all his profanity on national TV, you name it. We won't read the profanity here, but we've got it. This person is on an unbelievable power trip and resembles a demon. He is a creature of the IMF and the World Bank and international communism. He is a former KGB head. And this information is vital, ladies and gentlemen. We are seeing the New World Order really come out in full force. More wars than have been in the last 50 years are going on right now. The war in Chechnya is raging in Grozny with, well, reports of hundreds to thousands dying. 20 to 40,000 civilians trapped in the city. Russian Hinds are being shot down. Tanks are being blown to bits. Massive Grodd unguided rocket attacks are being launched on the city indiscriminately right now. Air and artillery bombardments as well. It's absolutely out of control. It is pandemic, ladies and gentlemen. I'll give you the news first on Y2K. The newest developments, a Pennsylvania nuclear plant has been shut down. One of the main systems transferring the power from it failed, but they say it's not a Y2K problem. And the things I'm experiencing here in Austin, Texas, the shelves are empty of water and some gas station running out of fuel. Here in Central Texas and in Minneapolis, Minnesota, the shortwave is basically down, ladies and gentlemen. Went off right as I went on the air. The big news on Y2K. Then we'll start going to your calls. All right, let's go ahead and get to this article. Associated Press, this came out at 7:22 a.m. Eastern Standard Time today, December 31st, 1999. Pennsylvania, nuclear plant shut down. One of the two nuclear reactors at PECO Energy Co.'s Limerick Generating Station has shut down this morning after a piece of equipment failed. Company spokesman Neil McDermott said the problem was not Y2K related. It was declared an unusual event, the least serious emergency classification of a nuclear power plant. They got to have a serious emergency to shut down a plant, ladies and gentlemen. You power one down, you're not going to power it up for at least days. It was declared an unusual event. At 2:55 a.m., shutdown occurred when an insulator on the main generator transformer from Limerick 2 failed. We had reports yesterday of this. Off the record, I would not report it, but I had it from a good source that this plant was having problem along with four other plants. I may just go ahead and report it here. Boy, do we get good information here. This has been going on for days. From our information, it is not this transformer that they're talking about. They wouldn't just shut a plant down over that. Something serious may be going on there. So that the central government, known as the federal government, the occupational government in Washington, D.C., has set up a huge $50 million command bunker hooked into all the FEMA boxes that can take over all the shortwave broadcast and commercial AM and FM stations, as well as television broadcast stations. And we hope they do not activate that, ladies and gentlemen. Police and military are on high alert, running around looking for supposed boogeymen and terrorists under every rock. Military are highly visible now. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there are trains of military equipment moving into Austin. Two nights ago, on Wednesday night, the Fox News reported that the airport will be used as a massive holding facility for troublemakers or rioters here in Austin that has no history of riots. They need to get that country locked down so they can stage the election for Vladimir Putin. I mean, this guy is a demon. Have you seen this guy? Just how he's raging with power? I can't even keep track of all the developing news as it's coming in. I'm not even going to say it's 6 to 7 reactors across the country. I'm not even going to. It's bad, and I got this news about the Pennsylvania plant early yesterday, got it again off air, confirmed it with someone that is 99% accurate, about like I am, trying to report the truth, and now I've got the Associated Press saying, well, they shut the whole plant down, but they call it an unusual event, the least serious emergency classification of a nuclear power plant. Well, it's got to be pretty bad for power a plant down. As the developments move forward with this Y2K and this gear up for clamping down in America and Russia and around the world by globalist forces, we'll be bringing you the news as long as we're here on the air. Now pretty much dictator and controller of, oh, this is extremely serious. 2 weeks ago, Topol M, 6,200-mile super range, multiple warhead, newest design, U.S. clone technology missiles were deployed across Russia. They're mobile. These are first strike type systems. They're also designed to...
Okay. It just goes on and on and on. That never happened. That was supposed to be World War III. What's happening today, they described then. Uh-oh, it didn't happen. Let's let it go away. They tried to start World War III. Bring in the New World Order by the year 2000. It's Masonic. It goes back all the way back to Nimrod. It's the entire... It was all to accumulate in the year 2000. And the year 2001 was to open up the portals of the Masonic sacrifice of 911 to bring in the first level of the fallen angels into this realm. They had to do it by world war. Every world war was a way by which they could physically manifest. This is the real truth. Using humankind, Freemasons, Knights of Malta, Illuminati, Italian, German, every nation, every culture has Illuminati, not just Jews, whatever. The Vatican, all this is connected to this one conspiracy and can be proven. I'm tired of the lies. I'm sick of them. So I expose every darn one of them no matter what. You see, and I was in Kosovo at 1999. There was nothing going on. It was... The biggest thing was some rumbling that we had on the border of Kosovo and Serbia. And we actually went out to look at that. And that was another situation I ain't gonna go into. But I got myself in a little bit of a fix there. But I was in the middle of this thing over in Kosovo. That was, there's nothing to Putin. It's not even close, man. That was total fabrication. 100%. Because they thought World War III was going to kick off by June 1999 to December 1999. It didn't happen. See how they use this? How this is all set up and designed? We're 14 years overdue for a new world order. And guess who's in control? Biz. Now, I'm going to backtrack a little bit here and give you some evidence, not just from me, but from interviews. I've given you, for this past hour, a verbal dialogue, a reiteration of the basic premise of my statement at the very beginning. Naturally, I can't give you all the details. I could literally probably talk about another three hours easily on giving you details of this operation. And then probably have to go in part two tomorrow. You see, you don't want that. But I'm trying to show you how deep this really goes. And I figured today was a good time to do it. To show you the truth about 911. The deeper truth. And how this is all connected. Going back to the year 1789, and the 70-year bank cycles, that 1999 was the last one. Well, you say, then wait a minute. If that didn't happen, and 1999 was the end of the collateral, then how are we still operating with no money? The treasuries have been depleted since 1920s. So how do we do that? Well, that's a very good question. I'm going to answer it for you. Because in 1999, starting in 1994, the Clintons started striking up a deal. Carter, the Clintons, striking up a deal with China. Because of New World Order, North American Union, all that. When it didn't happen, deals were made to give property. Property always works. As collateral, when China bought up our debt 30%. What was that? Foreign trade zones in America. And you thought Cuba was a problem with the missiles down there? And there weren't no missiles anyway. Confirmed. Bobby Kennedy and JFK confirms there were no missiles down there. I give you a quote if you want it. Oh, What a bunch of liars, the CIA and all those guys, Nazis are. Anyway, NSA and a whole lot of them. So, what was I saying? Yeah, I get excited sometimes, I forget. Oh, it's so ridiculous. Anyway, so what they've done is set us up all along with this mess and keep us all busy and distracted. And I have to keep my mind focused on this because to make sure that it's clear. But one thing to know, they're not going to achieve what they set out to do. It's impossible. Not possible. Because the supernatural is what the rule is. And God's in control of that. So now, every generation has its boogeyman. In the 1700s, it was liberty. Take away the liberty, give them liberty. And that's always been the plan. So now Clinton had collateral for debt of China, foreign trade zones. Family, there's 290 foreign trade zones in America. That's sovereign Chinese territory. There's even one here in Mount Airy, North Carolina. Who would want to put an industrial park in Mount Airy, North Carolina? The Chinese would, because it's a main thoroughfare halfway between New York and Florida. It's Mount Airy. And you have a Highway 77 that goes through it, Highway 74. In the 1950s and 1960s, Mount Airy was a main thoroughfare of criminal activity. It's known as Little Chicago in Mount Airy. You have close proximity to the ocean. You have halfway to the west, going out to the west, Kentucky, Tennessee, all the way out to Missouri. You're halfway to New York, halfway to Florida, and this is where they conducted drugs, alcohol, women, everything in Mount Airy. So they had to get rid of all the population to move out, kill off the old people, take away the industry, and bring in the foreign trade zone. That's being done throughout the United States. Singapore has Idaho. China has Idaho, owns it, man. Hardin, Montana hosted out the first American police force as a test group in Hardin, Montana. American police force for the National Police. Family, keep up with this. Come on now. So, foreign trade zones is sovereign Chinese territory given to the Chinese to take our debt. That's how we've extended into 14 years now. They've tried to conduct a military takeover in Civil War. He had Germans north, French on the south. It didn't work. The Tsar of Russia torpedoed that at the Congress of Vienna. And by helping Lincoln to keep the Europeans out of here. They tried to do it in World War I. They tried to do it in World War II. They tried to do it in the Vietnam War. They tried to do it in 1932-33 with General Butler. They tried to do it in 1972-74 with Nixon and General Cushman to take over he had a military dictatorship planned. I've proven that before. I'm just going right through it. 1984, they tried again with North, Giafrida, Reagan. 82-83, Operation Northwoods. In the Vietnam War, it was the first it was Cuba, didn't work. The second one, Johnson, it was the USS Liberty to blame the attack that the Jews did, the Israelis to take down our ship, blame it on the Egyptians. They've tried since Civil War to bring us on a new world order and dictatorship in America. They've tried so hard, man. And all these false flags, every one of them named, almost every decade. And after 84, 87, when Reagan fell, Giafrida, the FEMA. See, Nixon, In February 1972, he balkanized the United States. What he did was Executive Order 11647, 11647, 11731, and Executive Order 11495 between 1972 and 73. Nixon divided the United States into 10 regions with 5 states each before he was getting ready to conduct a coup of the military government, of the U.S. United States government. He divided us into 10 regions, 5 states each, with a governor per each region. You thought Obama did it, didn't you? No, Obama's just doing his role. And then bring a U.N. administrator for all the 10 regions to match the 10 unions of the United of the world. And 11731 just continued it. 11495 was to give Nixon complete dictatorial powers of the U.S. government. And when it failed, they had rescinded it in 1978. Passed it on to FEMA, Geofrida, over North, Reagan. In FEMA transition, 2009 to date, you can see FEMA regions is exactly like Executive Order 11647 by Nixon. Different whatsoever. They've just carried it on through. And 1999 was supposed to be World War III and the military dictatorship take over America. And even Bush confirms he wanted to be a dictator by his own words. You see, this is, you know, this stuff is provable. It is in evidence. What people are not doing is connecting the dots. You see, when you connect the dots, you see the same names, same families, same connections, same orders. Exactly the same. Why are people connecting the dots? Because they got us busy, tied up, confused, and fighting each other. That's exactly why. And it's working like a charm. You see? And I keep myself separate from all that mess so I can connect the dots and be able to report it to you. Of what's really going on. I don't sign petitions. I don't get mixed up in any movement. I don't follow none of that nonsense. I don't do any of it. I keep myself straight as I can. So I keep track of these connections. And who listen will listen, who don't won't. As a matter of fact, here's his own verse, own words.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
I don't think it's funny. Not one little bit. This is what's really going on, family. How long are y'all going to allow the secret societies to control? How long are y'all in the secret societies going to remain a member of the very organizations that's trying to kill your family at the highest level? Because that's exactly what 911 was all about. And they haven't stopped yet. How long are you all going to listen to this nonsense? Jesus Christ will give you knowledge. Now, I'm going to backtrack here a minute. I'm probably going to go part two tomorrow. What now? So let me... All right, let me just give you some... Foreign trade zones, that was where I was at before. That's how we got our stimulus money, continued, was by China buying American birth certificates. That's trade on the stock market. By taking foreign trade zones and our debt through Breakspeare, Aldo Brandini, the inside Italian Illuminati, to give us gold money. We can continue on till they can finally get us under a new world order. So what are they using today? They're using ISIS, They're using Al-Qaeda. And though you have Al-Qaeda fighting ISIS, both of them do not exist. How's that possible? Now, where did ISIS come from? Well, let's let General McKerny tell you.
It's going to show some of those weapons from Benghazi ended up in the hands of ISIS. So we helped build ISIS. Now, there's a danger there. And
oh, let the little cat out of the bag, don't you? That was recently. Talking about Benghazi, September 11th, 2012. Wow, what a coincidence that was. Where'd you get Al-Qaeda from?
We also have a history of kind of moving in and out of Pakistan. I mean, let's remember here, the people we are fighting today, we funded 20 years ago. And we did it because we were locked in this struggle with the Soviet Union. They invaded Afghanistan, and we did not want to see them control Central Asia. And we went to work. And it was President Reagan, in partnership with the Congress, led by Democrats, who said, you know what, sounds like a pretty good idea. Let's deal with the ISI and the Pakistani military, and let's go recruit these Mujahideen, and let's great. Let's get some to come from Saudi Arabia and other places, importing their Wahhabi brand Islam, so that we can go beat the Soviet Union. And guess what? They retreated. They lost billions of dollars, and it led to the collapse of the Soviet Union. So there's a very strong argument, which is, wasn't a bad investment to end the Soviet Union, but let's be careful what we sow, because we will harvest. So we then left Pakistan. We said, okay, fine, you deal with the stingers that we've left all over your country. You deal with the mines that are along the border. And by the way, we don't want to have anything to do with you. In fact, we're sanctioning you. So we stopped dealing with the Pakistani military and with ISI, and we now are making up for a lot of lost time.
It's a lie. We never stopped dealing with them. See, they always tell you part truth and never the whole truth. I know about the stingers because when I was security officer, or security director, chief in the eastern region of Kosovo, I had inside reports of the stingers being brought into Kosovo from Afghanistan. I had first-hand knowledge of that. And we were concerned about that because they were trying to start the war there in Kosovo. I got reports I brought back. 500 pounds reports I brought back. 500 pounds of my private equipment and private, when I left Kosovo, that they didn't know about. I put it in my own private gear, 500 pounds of documents. Don't tell me no. You'll find my testimony in The Coming Balkan Caliphate by Chris DeLisio. He wrote it in 2006 with my permission. And I don't want nothing for it, didn't want nothing for it. I said, man, just write it. Put everything I gave you in there. Don't even worry about me. I don't care what you got. As long as it's true what I told you, you put it in that book. They have a copy of it in West Point. That book is solid. They won't refute it. And it shows where we controlled and helped Al-Qaeda. And kiss my two-wagon. I'll tell you what. Fires me up, boy, I'm going to tell you. Well, let's say that she, Hillary Clinton, maybe... made a mistake or something. Maybe she just was lying. We'll see what her second interview says.
Thank you very much.
Oh, no. Hold on a minute. I'm too fired up. All right. Let's talk about Hillary Clinton in the second interview. Here we go.
So if you think if we walked away from this, didn't give them money today, it would be worse for us from a security standpoint.
I do. We're building a relationship that just did not exist. I said in our last trip when you were with me that we had a huge trust deficit, in part because the United States had, to be fair, we had helped to create the problem we're now fighting.
How?
Because when the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, we had this brilliant idea that we were going to come to Pakistan and create a force of Mujahideen, equip them with Stinger missiles and everything else, to go after the Soviets inside Afghanistan. And we were successful. The Soviets left Afghanistan, and then we said, great, goodbye, leaving these trained people who were fanatical in Afghanistan and Pakistan, leaving them well-armed, creating a mess, frankly, that... at the time, we didn't really recognize. We were just so happy to see the Soviet Union fall, and we thought, okay, fine, we're okay now. Everything's going to be so much better. Now you look back, the people we're fighting today, we were supporting in the fight against the Soviets.
We never lost that control. It's always been controlled, and they're called ISIS. ISIS doesn't even exist. And you say, well, how do you know it doesn't exist? Well, how about a CIA agent telling you? How about that? You don't believe me?
We're sitting down with Michael Scheuer, the man who had served in the CIA for more than 20 years up until 2004. At one time, he was the chief of the CIA Bin Laden unit. Then he went and exposed how counter-effective Washington's methods were in the fight against terror. He looked at the U.S. through its enemy's eyes. In fact, it's the title of one of his books called Through Our Enemy's Eyes. I'm very pleased to have the chance to interview you,
Thank
Mr.
you.
Scheuer.
I'm glad to be here.
Bin Laden is gone. Who is Washington's number one enemy now?
Washington's enemy is an enemy that doesn't exist. We're fighting an Islamic enemy that Washington believes is out to kill us because we have elections, because we're free, because we have women in the workplace. It's an enemy that doesn't exist. It didn't exist when Laden was alive. It doesn't exist now. America is being attacked because of its foreign policy in the Muslim world, because of its support for Israel, because of its support for the Saudi police state, because of its presence on the Arab Peninsula. And until we accept that, until Americans can say to each other, whether you support aid to Israel or not, our relationship with Israel is causing this war, we are not going to be able to defeat this enemy. And Israel.
Okay, he's lying through his teeth, but he is true about Al-Qaeda doesn't exist. It's not about supporting Israel. See, that's how the CIA does it. They bring out a truth teller that tells partial truth and then lies through his teeth for the next part. That's how it works. You see, it has to do with Masonic. It has to do with the New World Order. It has to do with order out of chaos, setting up for World War III, the war between Islam and the Zionists, and then bringing in the New World Order under the New Age movement. So you got to have a battle. You got to show the Muslims are the enemy, the Zionists to be separated from. It's all that mess going on, you see. That's what it's all about. So he tells partial truth here. I'm not going to go through the whole tape, but that's his testimony. Al-Qaeda doesn't exist. ISIS doesn't exist. We helped them all and always have been. Now, Hillary Clinton, the Clintons, deep into this, they're Luciferians. Bill Clinton is. Buchanan is. Romney, the whole lot of them. They're all cousins also, by the way. Did you know that? Were you aware of that? Now, you have husband and wife. Now, I'm just picking on Bill Clinton and Hillary, but here's what Billy Clinton says.
Wait. Look. This is the deal, folks. All these people that are paranoid about the world come and scream at me everywhere. All right, I'll answer. All right. Okay. Now, wait a minute. You said you would go if I answered the question, right? You said you would go if I answered the question. You said you would go if I answered the question. You said you would go if I answered the question. All right, here's the answer. I happened to be in Europe then on my way to Russia. I was invited to go to Bilderberg by Vernon Jordan, a friend of mine and a genuine hero of the civil rights movement. And to the best of my knowledge, NAFTA was not discussed by anybody in my presence. I was talking to people who happened to be from Europe who did not give a rip about NAFTA. Number one. Number two. Okay. Number two. I tried to get labor and environmental standards in that agreement, but I couldn't because it was all negotiated when I got there. Number three, when I was president, we enforced our trade laws five times as much as the Bush administration did. We gained manufacturing jobs in 6 of the 8 years I was president. They've lost manufacturing jobs in every year.
Okay, then he blows his horn to try to override the actual answer. that yes, he did attend the Bilderberg meeting, because they're liars and they're Luciferian. And he's a Rhodes Scholar, which means he's like Wesley Clark, Naomi Wolf. They're all part of this agenda, this Illuminati. But then you got this answer. It's amazing.
And the campaign is over. We need to be sure that president is going to do what is necessary to take care of our country. One of the
Senator, how you doing?
Good. How are you
Can
doing?
I ask you a quick question while you sign that?
Sure.
It was reported in June of 2006, you attended a meeting in Ottawa, Canada, the Bilderberg Group. Can you comment on that? What's going on at the Bilderberg meeting, and what do you guys talk about up there?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, you do. I was reported you were up there, and people saw you up there. I just want to know what you guys talk about and meet about up there.
Sir, I don't know.
Why are they such top secret meetings?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Your husband went to a Bilderberg meeting, too. I'm just wondering. I'm not being rude or anything.
No,
I just want to know what happens at these meetings.
Well, since I wasn't there, I have no idea.
Okay, thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
How are you?
There you go.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
You send me the 9/11 family members who are still advocating for the investigation.
How about that, huh? Got him. Checkmate. This is how it works, family. This is how it works. 9/1 was Masonic sacrifice. It goes back to 1966. It goes back to 1789 because of the 70-year bank cycles. Each cycle was designed to bring us closer and closer to a new world order. Oh, I'm not done yet. I'm probably going to run out of time. So, I want to backtrack just a tad bit. And let's go back. Now, some of you all have heard some of these before. Some of you haven't heard these before. And some of you haven't heard these in the orders that I've given them. And I always do this in every broadcast. I try to bring new stuff or a new twist. And it's all not just a twist, excuse me, but it's a new way of looking at it to try to bring up more details. Now, recall back what I was saying concerning the attempt of a military dictatorship in the Civil War is confirmed by Lincoln. And then Banana Wars brought in Smedley D. Butler. He was a brave man. He was three-time Medal of Honor winner. Three times. He turned one down because he said, I don't deserve it. I didn't win one. You keep it. I don't want it. Now, generals today in the Vietnam era, man, they write up their own bronze star just when they want to. This was an honest general, like Patton. That's why he was murdered. He wanted to go ahead and fight the communists, but there wasn't time yet. Well, here's a testimony of General Butler in 1932-33 when I told you about the military coup that they were trying to set up. Here we go.
You can roughly locate any community somewhere along a scale running all the way from democracy to despotism. This man makes it his job to study these things.
Well, for one thing, avoid the comfortable idea that the mere form of government can of itself safeguard a nation against despotism.
For big business, despotism was often a useful tool for securing foreign markets and pursuing profits. One of the U.S. Marine Corps' most highly decorated generals, Smedley Darlington Butler, by his own account, helped pacify Mexico for American oil companies, Haiti and Cuba for National City Bank, Nicaragua for the Brown Brothers brokerage, the Dominican Republic for sugar interests, Honduras for U.S. fruit companies, and China for Standard Oil. General Butler's services were also in demand in the United States itself in the 1930s, as President Franklin Delano Roosevelt sought to relieve the misery of the Depression through public enterprise and tougher regulations on corporate exploitation and misdeeds.
More power to you, President Roosevelt. The entire country's behind you, thrilled with hope and patriotism.
But the country was not entirely behind the populist president. Large parts of the corporate elite despised what Roosevelt's New Deal stood for. And so, in 1934, a group of conspirators sought to involve General Butler in a treasonous plan.
The plan as outlined to me was to form an organization of veterans, to use as a bluff or as a club at least, to intimidate the government.
But the corporate cabal had picked the wrong man. Butler was fed up with being what he called a gangster for capitalism.
I appeared before the Congressional Committee, the highest representation of the American people, under subpoena to tell what I knew of activities, which I believe might lead to an attempt to set up a fascist dictatorship. The upshot of the whole thing was that I was supposed to lead an organization of 500,000 men, which would be able to take over the functions of government.
A congressional committee ultimately found evidence of a plot to overthrow Roosevelt. According to Butler, the conspiracy included representatives of some of America's top corporations, including J.P. Morgan, DuPont, and Goodyear Tire. As today's chairman of Goodyear Tire knows, for corporations to dominate government, a coup is no longer necessary.
Corporations have gone global. And by going global, the governments have lost some control over corporations, regardless of whether the corporation can be trusted or cannot be trusted. Governments today do not have over the corporations the power that they had and the leverage that they had 50 or 60 years ago. And that's a major change. So governments have become powerless compared to where they were before.
Capitalism today commands the towering heights and has displaced politics and politicians as the new high priests and reigning oligarchs of our system. So capitalism and its principal protagonists and players, corporate CEOs, have been accorded unusual power and access. This is not to deny the significance of government and politicians, but these are the new high priests.
Now again, partial truth and partly lie. It's not the corporations at all. It's the Jesuits, the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, the Illuminati that control them. The corporations are nothing but shoeshine boys. That's all they do. So they put the blame on the corporations. Not at all. They're on the bottom of the ladder. They can trade off a president of a corporation in a phone call. It's not even an issue. That was 1932-33. Where is he going to get Butler, going to get all those veterans to go against the American FDR president? Well, Bonus Army, 1932-33. I'm not going to play that audio, but in the Bonus Army, they marched on D.C. because they wanted their bonuses during the Great Depression, which was part of the 70-year bank cycle. So, you see how it worked? General MacArthur and Blackjack Pershing and the U.S. military active duty ran the veterans out of D.C. at bayonet point, burned their houses down, and Hoover authorized it. That really ticked off the veterans. Does that sound familiar? Making veterans angry, mad, throw them down, war on veterans? Don't you think that would make them a little angry? Does that sound familiar today? Should, because it's exactly what they're doing again. They're doing it again. It worked then. They hope it works again to make us mad, make veterans angry, so we'll rise up and give them justification for martial law. That's the whole idea. They know we're not going to take over, but they need justification for martial law.
In 1932, Washington was under siege. The Capitol was surrounded by over 10,000 unemployed veterans of World War I from all over the country. Their only assets were the bonus certificates they'd been given after the war, which promised a cash bonus sometime in the future. They needed it now.
At the end of May 1932, nearly 10,000 bonus marchers occupied the nation's capital, and tens of thousands more were on their way.
Washington to get my bonus, and I'm going to wait for till I get it if I have to wait till 1945.
What's it that brought you to Washington?
I want to beat the Undertaker, spend the money before the Undertaker gets it.
I know who's made this country worth living in.
That's General Butler.
It's just you fellas. Look, makes me so damn mad a whole lot of people speak of you as tramps. By God, they didn't speak of you as tramps in 1917 and 18. Take it from me. This is the greatest demonstration of Americanism we've ever had. Pure Americanism.
President Hoover was left to deal with the veterans when the Senate rejected their demands. The marchers had stayed, camped out in central Washington.
On July 16th, the last day Congress was in session, Washington was on edge. Thousands of angry veterans surrounded the Capitol. Near midnight, the 72nd Congress adjourned. Congressmen left through back doors and underground tunnels to avoid confrontations. The situation had come to a head. The president ordered the evacuation of the veterans from downtown Washington.
Now you bring in the troops.
When MacArthur moved his troops to the affected area, he knew exactly what he was going to do. And he adorned himself in his dress uniform along with his major aide, Dwight D. Eisenhower.
The force stepped off at 4:30 p.m. More than 200 cavalrymen spread out across Constitution and Pennsylvania avenues. Behind them came 400 infantrymen, followed up by tanks and armored vehicles.
The cavalrymen, one of whom is Major Patton, have got their sabers out.
The soldiers donned gas masks and, without warning, began hurling gas grenades at the veterans. The troops advanced, some jabbing with bayonets.
It's war, the greatest concentration of fighting troops in Washington since 1865.
I knew something was going to happen, that they might be attacked. And I had a press card, so I passed the police lines, and then I saw the soldiers advancing into the camp. And when confronted with this, the men all stood there, said, "Stand firm as long as you can." And they started throwing tear gas.
Tear gas was just burning my face. I was trailing behind my dad, and he kept hollering, "Come on, boy, come on, boy."
Marchers were choking from the gas, just like the battlefields in France.
And so they're being forced out of their shacks by smoke bombs and tear gas, hurled by the troops who have been called out by the President of the United States.
Okay, there's more to it, but that you got the idea there. See what they did? This was by design. This was by design. And then after that incident, that so angered the vets that he had what he needed, the New World Order had what they needed. So then here comes along General Butler. He had his troops.
A veteran.
And
he uses a bluff or as a club at least to intimidate.
Not entirely behind the populist. Large parts of the corporate
so
elite despised what Roosevelt's New Deal stood for.
Now you
and
see.
And so, in 1934, a group of conspirators sought to involve General Butler in a treasonous plan.
In order.
And as outlined to me, was to form an organization of veterans. To use as a bluff or as a club at least to intimidate the government.
But the corporate cabal had picked the wrong man. Butler was fed up with being what he called a gangster for capitalism.
I appeared before the Congressional Committee, the highest representation of the American people, under subpoena to tell what I knew of activities, which I believe might lead to an attempt to set up a fascist dictatorship. The upshot of the whole thing was that I was supposed to lead an organization of 500,000 men, which would be able to take over the functions of government.
A congressional committee ultimately found evidence of a plot to overthrow Roosevelt. According to Butler, the conspiracy included representatives of some of America's top corporations.
Now, 6 years after that, 5 years after that, here's a direct quote from FDR behind closed doors in 1939, March the 4th. This is the real FDR and the real story. Had Butler had taken the $60,000 offered him in 1932-33 by the corporate cabal to lead the revolt with a half a million World War I veterans, as I've proven. It didn't happen in the time they wanted it to, but behind closed doors in front of three congressional committees, and one of the committee members was Senator Lundeen, L-U-N-D-E-E-N. You'll find the quote in Red Fog Over America by William G. Carr, 1955. You'll find the quote in a timeline I have on my website, watchmanforjesus.com. I got a timeline there that you can find this quote, March 4th, 1939. Here is the real story and representative of every president we've had, except for the ones they've assassinated, minus Garfield, who was a rascal. But we're talking about Lincoln, the attempt on Andrew Jackson, McKinley, and JFK. Here's the real FDR after 1932-33, March 4th, 1939, to be kept secret, but it was revealed in 1950 to real William G. Carr. This is the real quote. Quote, 1939, FDR says to three congressional committees, I quote, "I am making no concessions to business or for relief. I have a military machine sufficient to stop any organized revolt. I'm putting my people, that's the Illuminati, ahead of all instruments. I'll have had a full understanding with Chamberlain, and we will destroy this unemployed condition with a war, and a war only." This is 2 years before Pearl Harbor. Continuing quote, "To hell with American people. As far as a democracy is concerned, it does not exist, never did, and we will never let it happen that way. I am going to crush business, infest America with all the aliens possible, and the last analysis declare martial law. I'm going to crush business, listen carefully, infest America with all the aliens possible. In the last analysis, then declare martial law and confiscate everything I need for a true and forceful dictatorship. My New Deal stimulus plan is a failure, and I know it, but no one else will tell me I must discontinue my present activities and program." Unquote. I'm going to infest America, all the aliens possible. Does that sound like an immigration problem to you? Does that sound new? And this is in front of the secret audience with the Military Appropriation Committee, the Ways and Means Committee, and the Special War Finance Committee. And did you know, 100 years before this quote, his ancestral cousin, FDR, Clinton Roosevelt, published in America a document, which I have a copy of, in 1841, I have the copy of it. The science of government founded on natural law. That's humanism. Well, that was nothing more than a plagiarized version of the same teachings of Professor Adam Weishaupt, Jesuit of Frankfurt University in Germany, 1776. Well, in 1841, Clinton Roosevelt took that document, reworked it, gave it a name, called Science of Government, founded on natural law, and passed that document through Manzini, Illuminati, and Albert Pike gave it to Karl Marx to plagiarize for the Communist Manifesto, setting up the wars of the 20th century. Karl Ritter, fascism. Frank Nietzsche, I talked about the other day. When Karl Ritter died, Frank Nietzsche took over the writing of the fascist program, added to it the Nazi program. All before 1860s, 1870s. Albert Pike then took that set up the plans for World War I, World War II, and coming World War III before 1871. Conceptual terms. This is all documented. Slam dunk truth. So this called for in long-range plans that the fact that FDR's New Deal, which is no different than the Clintons in 1990 with the Chinese, ain't no difference. Darn. And FDR's NRA and his other political policies, economic devices, fit in the long-range plans. You know what those plans required? The continuity of the conspiracy from 1841 to 1945. And 1945 began the takedown of America. I get the evidence here too. Man, I got evidence out my nose. I don't need to write a book. I know where the books are. So other people's written them. I don't have time to write no book. I have time to explain it, and you go read the books yourself. I'm not looking at this for myself. I'm trying to get information out. So why do I have to write a book when I know where I got my own information? And you go to the people that did write the books. I'm here to try to summarize it so people know and realize this is not by human means. This is by supernatural means, family. There's no way humans have the knowledge to do this. It's impossible. I got that in quotes, too, by the way. I do my research, darn it. Well, 1945, right? Well, 1948 to 1953, Brock Grissom, director of the United Nations World Health Organization, during the time that started the takedown of America, he said then, I quote, 1948 to 53, that to achieve world government, it's necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas. He's a Unitarian. That's when it started, using Tavistock, behavioral think tank in England, to engineer our downfall, as supported by our country, by our government, by our military that are secret society members, Satanists, and the generals, the congressmen, the presidents, CEOs that go to Bilderberg meetings, that go to Bohemian Grove. So in the 1960s, you had the Cuban Missile Crisis. Oops, that failed, didn't it? Then after Kennedy was assassinated, when he tried to describe what was going on, about the Masonic Lodge, about the Freemasons, about all that, about his speech. When he died, they tried again with USS Liberty to sink the USS Liberty in 1966-67 time frame and blame it on Egypt to get World War III started and dictatorship again. Will Americans fire on Americans? That was what Kent State was all about. 1970s was Nixon, just like I told you, to 1974. And I explained there they're going to assassinate Spiro Agnew and then declare martial law after the Republican Convention in 1973. I've got quotes on that as well. That didn't work out either. You think they'd ever learn, don't you? Well, after Nixon and General Cushman of the U.S. Marine Corps failed, even Schlesinger had heard about it, military takeover of the U.S. government, by using Marines to take over Washington. I'd found out from separate investigation that Schlesinger, Defense Department, had actually investigated how to move the 82nd Airborne to counterbalance the Marines if Nixon had authorized it. It failed to happen. So they put it on hold for a while. And then it was passed on to Reagan, Carter, in 1984-87.
Reagan was elected to the presidency. He installed Louis Giafrida as head of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Giafrida was an old cold warrior from Reagan's California days whose specialty was suppression of unrest and dissent. Giafrida, North, and George Bush began to turn FEMA into an instrument of domestic anti-terrorism.
You're dealing with a group of people in the Reagan administration who equated political dissent with treason and who cannot differentiate between emergency procedures, which I think everyone agrees are necessary, and suppressing political dissent. And with North and Poindexter and Casey, you had a group of people who saw Americans who disagree with them as the enemy.
Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman,
I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon it, sir?
I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, because I read in Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution. And I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was the area in which he had worked. I believe it was.
May I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made for an executive session.
And tragically, the only member who got close was Jack Brooks, and he was stopped by the church.
You see, so that was going to be revealed, Operation Northwoods, to fly planes and blame it on Cuba, all kinds of, it was another setup. Look at Operation Northwoods. I'm not going to go in detail about that, but it was also a false flag that was planned to 1984-87 time frame to justify martial law again. So, you see, so they haven't stopped. Now, I'm probably going to go over here a little bit, about 10 minutes. So if you're listening by TalkStream Live, I will be going over when they shut it down on TalkStream Live. I'll continue to talk about another 10 minutes probably. In Operation Northwoods, Joint Chief of Staff, who belonged to the Illuminati, they're a bunch of generals that are traitors to this country. I'm not real good at being politically correct. The Kennedy administration messed up the Bay of Pigs for the White Hats to take over America. President Kennedy was taken over by so-called super patriots in a no-win war, because it was planned to lose in Korea and planned to lose in Vietnam by design. That's a fact. I've talked about that before. And Northwoods was just another effort of trying to set up a false flag. He called for fleeing Cubans to be sunk on the high seas, for a wave of violence, terrorism, and launched in D.C., Miami, and elsewhere. People would be framed for bombings, did not commit. Planes would be hijacked using phony evidence, all blamed on Castro. Castro was 7 years Jesuit. It's all planned during that period of time. Not to go in a lot of detail right now with that because I don't have time. You see, so that takes up to 1987, 88 time frame. And then, of course, 1990, I played you the video with Bush saying, as long as it's a dictatorship, I'm in control. It takes us up to 1999, the 911, which was supposed to have New World Order. Wesley Clark starting World War III in Kosovo, June 1999. See how it worked? Of course, that didn't happen because General Michael Jackson of the Brits told him to stuff it up his wazoo. He's not starting, I quote, World War III for you. He disobeyed and should have an illegal order from Wesley Clark. He's part of the New World Order. The downfall of America blamed on him, General Boykin, Rick Joyner, the whole doggone lot of them, because their loyalty belongs to the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, secret societies. They don't care about Americans. They only care about their own hides and their secret oath that they've taken with the secret societies. The Council of Foreign Relations controls America.
Thank you very much,
That's
Richard.
The Illuminati.
I'm delighted to be here in these new headquarters. I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future. I mean, Richard.
Advice isn't how you should. Advice is how you might want to. She slipped up. They tell him what to do. And a cousin of Bush, a cousin of Romney, a cousin of Clinton, confirms he's also. And Kerry, all cousins, all in the same bloodline. All the same bloodline. Secret society members. 322. Genesis 3:22, man to become his God, Rosicrucians, Freemasons, Knights of Malta. Well, there's one that confirms he used to be a director of CFR.
A special televised meeting of the New York-based Council on Foreign Relations provides a window to the real story. The speaker, Vice President Dick Cheney, takes a question from David Rockefeller.
Vice President, I just enjoyed so much your whole speech, but I was particularly pleased that you gave such a strong endorsement for the free trade agreement for all the Americas, subject that has been of great concern to me for many years, and particularly recently, and I think it's absolutely essential for the strength of our economy.
Rockefeller's role in the drive for an FTAA was a lot more central than he portrays. Rockefeller cultivated Latin American leaders who could be counted on to support such a proposal. Both the 1994 Miami Summit and the FTAA proposal were conceived and nurtured by a Rockefeller-created network. Prominent among the organizations sponsoring the Miami event were the Council of the Americas, founder and honorary chairman, David Rockefeller, the Americas Society, chairman, David Rockefeller, the Forum of the Americas, founder, David Rockefeller, the Institute for International Economics, financial backer and board member, David Rockefeller, the Trilateral Commission, founder and honorary chairman, David Rockefeller. Rockefeller's influence also extends to the current administration. He was chairman emeritus of the CFR when Vice President Dick Cheney once served as a director, a relationship Cheney concealed during his congressional career.
It's good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
They all think it's funny, don't they? They won't think it's funny when God has judgment upon their souls. That will happen. Underground bases won't protect them. In the meantime, that's part of the plans. You see, that's the reality of what's really going on behind the scenes. And so when you fast forward it, 2001, you find out that 9-1-1 was a sacrifice to the ancient Egyptian gods by Masonic Slim Bones and the Brotherhood of Death. It was sacred ground, the Giza Pyramid. It's the same situation, the same three pyramids of the World Trade Center, the two towers of Boaz and Jachin that you find in the columns in each Masonic lodge is what represented. In the middle is the square, the third part of the Giza, and then they match up Orion's Belt. Then at the end, when they took down the World Trade Center, Ground Zero, they had a Druid ritual that had the all CNI in a ritual right after 9-1-1. They brought in the beginning part of the externalization of the hierarchy, 9-11-2001. That's what it was all about. That's the truth. Now, to show you a continuity of this thing, I've played this before. I'm going to play it again to show you the continuity. Might as well. We got time. At least another 5 or 10 minutes. 5 minutes, maybe. The Iraq War was to set up the World War III, as planned by Albert Pike in 1871. That's why they killed Pat Tillman, because he was coming back to talk down about the Iraq War. They couldn't have someone legitimate coming back. They murdered Pat Tillman. Bill Cooper predicted 9-1-1. That was a wrong time for him to be predicting it for them. They needed to do it later. Now they're telling you 9-1-1 was Bush and all them. Why? Because they want to show you the worthlessness of all governments. So now, when the time's right, you'll accept the New World Order. That's why they're now revealing all this, and I'm telling you now. But I'm telling you further. But to show you that they haven't stopped is now this one.
So things are getting nutty in D.C., and people are concerned about our Constitution and whether or not, you know, we're maintaining the integrity of our Constitution, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Rick Joyner, Pastor Rick Joyner of the Morningstar Ministries, he's genuinely concerned about the disregard for our Constitution, which is why he's praying for God to manufacture a military takeover of the United States government. On a recent TV episode, you know, it's funny, but it's not funny because he's really serious. And he's connected up with some, like, military people. He said this: "There's no way our republic can last much longer. It may not last through Obama's second term. There's a glib, almost joyful disregard of the Constitution, a belittling of the Constitution. We're headed for serious tyranny," is what he says. So, Pastor Joyner, please tell us what we can do. I'm concerned about our Constitution, too. What can we do to save it? Let's see what he has to offer.
The kingdom of God is coming. And America is not the kingdom of God. We're not the new Jerusalem.
Bingo.
I think we've been used in some wonderful and powerful ways by God. We've been one of the most generous nations in history. We've done so much good. And that's why I appeal to the Lord. Don't let us be totally destroyed. Please raise up those who will save us. And as I've started telling friends for a long time, that no election's going to get the right person in there that can restore us, because the system is so broken, so undermined right now, the whole system. I believe our only hope is a military takeover, martial law, and that the most crucial element of that is who the marshal is going to be. I believe there are noble leaders in our military.
Well, I hope God is watching his little TV station there.
I'm shocked that he would ask for specifically a military takeover. Oftentimes their messages are slightly more subtle.
And even more specifically, he says, "I believe that there are noble leaders in our military that love the republic, love everything that we stand for, and they could seize the government." And what's important to him, as he said, is who those people are within the military. So who might those noble marshals be, Pastor Joyner? Well, Rick Joyner is the president of the Oak Initiative, which is, their own website describes them as a grassroots movement to unite, mobilize, equip, and activate Christians. And among the ministers and Christian lobbyists that comprise the 14 board member of the Oak, listed directly below the chair and the president, is retired Army General Jerry Boykin. And this is how Boykin is described in the Oak Initiative's own website. "Lieutenant General Boykin was one of the elite warriors chosen in 1978 to make up the first unit in America's ultra-secretive and deadly Delta Force. That's who I want as part of my Christian army."
That's unbelievable. You know, what the hypocrisy here is just egregious, right? So one of the Ten Commandments is, "Thou shalt not kill." Period. It's not thou shalt not kill unless it's convenient to our political agenda. It's unbelievable, especially to have people that have essentially trained to kill others on their board and on their team.
Besides the fact of the hypocrisy of they're so concerned about the Constitution that they want to usurp the Constitution. So on a recent show, General Boykin and Pastor Joyner discussed the excitement that the end times were near and that the only thing that needs to happen in order for the end times is for a prophecy to take place, Isaiah's prophecy of the destruction of Damascus, Syria. So they're like
super excited about the destruction.
They're geared up. Yeah. Oh, goody, grab the popcorn, you know. End days are coming, but not before Joyner and Boykin elicit God's help to save the Constitution by suspending the Constitution.
So, fake World War III is coming with Obama authorizing strikes on Syria with a fake World War III scenario. And, family, we're close to the first seal. They got to have a fake World War III first, though, like they've always planned. Jared Boykin and Rick Joyner are both high-level Knights of Malta. That means they're automatically traitors to their own people they trained. So, one man told us what was going down, and he died for it. And that's what gripes me the most, and that's President Kennedy died for what he was, for this truth. And it goes something like this.
President John F. Kennedy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised.
Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Bobby Kennedy, JFK, John Lennon, Princess Diana, Aaron Russo, Vannevar Bhutto, Tupac Shakur, Dr. David Kelly, Bill Cooper, William Cooper, Barry Jennings.
Dissent is a silence, not praised. No expenditure is questioned.
Only a few.
No rumor is printed. No secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program. For from that scrutiny comes understanding. And from that understanding comes support or opposition. And both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence. And the response and dedication of our citizens whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion. This means greater coverage and analysis of international news, for it is no longer far away and foreign, but close at hand and local. It means greater attention to improved understanding of the news, as well as improved transmission. And it means, finally, that government at all levels must meet its obligation to provide you with the fullest possible information outside the narrowest limits of national security. And so it is to the printing press, to the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
Be aware that Operation Mockingbird brought in truth tellers, alternative news, that worked for the Illuminati, pretending to be on our side, and yet they tell you 80% truth and 20% lies. That's alternative news. They're called controlled opposition. Fear mongers. But we were warned in 1960 about what was coming.
Don't let anybody make you think that God chose America as his divine messianic force to be. A sort of policeman of the whole world. God has a way of standing before the nations with judgment, and it seems that I can hear God saying to America, you are too arrogant. If you don't change your ways, I will rise up and break the backbone of your power. And I'll place it in the hands of a nation that doesn't even know my name. Be still and know that I'm God. The promises of the Great Society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home. Though the civil rights leaders, for various reasons, refuse or can't take a stand or have to go along with the administration, that's their business. But I'm afraid that I know that justice is indivisible. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Martin Luther King separated himself from Jesse Jackson and all the other Freemasons of the Boule Society. Him and JFK was, although maybe not on the same page, were actually on the same page, the same as Malcolm X and Bobby Kennedy, working against the Illuminati in their own way. Martin Luther King moved away from the civil rights movement, but he still had to participate. He was there to bring people together, which he wasn't supposed to do for the Illuminati in the 1960s. Malcolm X, neither. Bobby Kennedy, JFK, neither. So the Pentagon, the Jesuits, massacred, murdered all four of them. The secret societies is who I've targeted today. The answer lies, Joint Chief of Staff. The answer lies in 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's the only answer. There is no other answer existing. Nothing else will work except this answer I'm going to give you. And it comes from not me, but from your Creator. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If that's not done, it will not happen. That comes from the Savior. That comes from God Himself. I gotta go. Thank you all for listening. I got tonight Bible study from 8 to 9 on watchmenforjesus.com. I will be sending this video out as soon as possible. If you believe in what I said today, pass it around. If you don't, do whatever. But I'm not stopping. I have no intention of stopping what I'm doing. Tomorrow will be another part to this one today. I will hit it on the ground running as I did today. I'll continue on. I have many more things to say tomorrow I didn't say today. I shall continue. I will let you all know that John Kirkler plays our our Bible studies and our broadcast on his network, highpointradio.net. Highpointradio.net. And John Kirkler up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. My website, watchmenforjesus.com. My Facebook, Watchmen for Jesus. Y'all have a great night, and God bless y'all. This is your Watchman. I'm signing off.
Then suddenly the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. The light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. And Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. Then I fell down on my knees and I just clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, the love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief, and every fear I'd ever had just